यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना जयो राधा माधव जयो कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव जयो कुंज बिहारी जयो जयो विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रतीकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शिष्य श्रीमती डिवाइन ग्रेस वचनानंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रवृदिकाचार्य अष्टोदश श्रीषम शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद जी महाराज की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। मथुरा वृंदावन धाम की जय। माया पुण्यवदीप धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की जय। निताय गौर प्रेम नंदे ऑल ग्लोरी सुसंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी सुसंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी सुसंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषये नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सर्वशास्त्राब्दि पीयूषा सर्ववैदैक सत्फला सर्व सिद्धांत रत्नाढ्य सर्वलोक एक दृक्प्रदा सर्वभागवत प्राण श्रीमद्भागवत प्रभो कलिध्वान्तोदितादित्य श्रीकृष्ण परिवर्तित। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, entitled Elements of Material Creation, Text 27. Eva me pundarikaksha mahantam samshayam hridi chetumar hasi sarvagya vachobhir nayanay punaihi एवं मे पुंडरीकाक्ष महांतं संशयं हृदि चेतुमर्हसि सर्वज्ञ वचोभिर्नयने पुनैः। एवं मे पुंडरीकाक्ष महांतं संशयं हृदि चेतुमर्हसि सर्वज्ञ वचोभिर्नयने पुनैः। हसि सर्वज्ञ चोभिर नयनाय पुणै। माताजीस एवं मे पुंडरीकाक्ष महांतं संशयं हृदि चेतुमर्हसि सर्वज्ञ वचोभिर नयनाय पुणै। एवं डज मे माय पुंडरीक अक्ष ओ लोटस आइड लॉर्ड महांतम ग्रेट संशयम डाउट हृदि विद इन माय हार्ट छेतुम कट अरहसी यू शुड प्लीज सर्वज्ञ ओ ओमनिशियंट वन वचो भी विद योर वर्ड्स नय इन रीजनिंग नय पुणे वेरी एक्सपर्ट। Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O lotus-eyed Krishna, O omniscient Lord, kindly cut this great doubt out of my heart with your own words, which exhibit your great skill in reasoning. Purport. Sri Uddhava requests Lord Krishna to clearly demonstrate the difference between the material body and the spirit soul. Just one sentence for the purport. So, this is ongoing discussion between Uddhavji and the Supreme Lord before Krishna is about to disappear from this world. And it's almost 15 chapters since this conversation is going on between Uddhavji and Krishna. And here is he asking, I'm going to focus on this one, two words in this particular verse. Mahantam samshayam, great doubt. And I'm basically going to talk about five things about what is doubt, the doubt in particular of Uddhavji. Why is it considered as a great doubt, right? And then in relation to the doubt, what is the solution to that doubt?
And finally, in general, how Krishna resolves doubts of devotees. So these are the five things I'm going to talk about, seeking blessings of all the assembled devotees to be able to share something meaningful. So doubt generally is considered with a negative connotation, but Bhagavatam says it's one of the functions of intelligence. The third canto of Bhagavatam, when the creation part is being explained and then Lord Kapila is actually speaking to Mother Devahuti and giving description of material nature, he is saying, Samshayo atha viparyaso nishchaya smritirevacha swapa iti uchyate buddhir lakshanam vrittita prathak. Third canto, 26th chapter, he speaks about the five symptoms of or the characteristics of intelligence. And he says, first of all is samshaya. So Prabhupada in the purport writes how doubt is one of the important functions of intelligence and blind acceptance of something is not an evidence of intelligence. If someone is blindly accepting something, that's not the sign of intelligence. Intelligent person has this capacity to doubt things. And Prabhupada says in order to cultivate intelligence, one should doubt in the beginning. One should create a doubt in the beginning and that's how his intelligence actually develops. At the same time he says, but doubting is not very favorable when information is received from the authentic sources. That time doubting is not considered as something very favorable. So in the Gita, Krishna is explaining the fourth chapter that someone who is faithful, faith is the antidote for doubt or the, what do you say, antonym for doubt. Someone who is faithful, he actually achieves the result of bhakti very easily. And he says, Shraddhavan labate jnanam tatpara samyat indriyaha. He is speaking of certain qualifications in order to attain and practice bhakti. Jnanam labdhva param shantim achirenadi gachati. So Shraddhavan, someone who is faithful, because jiva in this world when he is born, he is aghavan. He is possessing sin or sinful reactions. And before he becomes bhagyavan, he has to contact Bhagavan. And for contacting Bhagavan, he has to become Shraddhavan. Therefore, Shraddha is his punji by which he gets audience with Bhagavan. So, Aghavan, when he connects with Bhagavan through Shraddha, he becomes Bhagyavan. Generally, this terminology in Indian context is used for housewife, Bhagyavan. But technically speaking, Bhagyavan is someone who is possessing Bhagavan. So, traditionally speaking, a wife or a bride would be considered as a resemblance of Lakshmi. Lakshmi has come home, Graha Lakshmi and all that. So therefore she was considered as Bhagyavan. But this word is in general for someone who is possessing the grace of Bhagavan. That comes with Shraddha. So before we become Bhagyavan, we have to become Shraddhavan. We have to go with this punji of Shraddha to the great Mahabhagavatas to approach Krishna. And he has to be not lackadaisical but dedicated. Tat paraha. Right? We have Narayan para. Then there is Ved para. Parayan. Narayan parayan. So similarly, tat para means, tat means Krishna is referring to this system that he is already explaining, which is knowledge. So he says tat para means he is dedicated to this knowledge. Means he practices it. Doesn't just speak it. Dedication actually means you apply it in your own personal life. And not just to speak about it. And the sign that he is tatparaha, he is actually applying this knowledge in his life, is his samyat indriyaha. Samyat indriya means he is perfectly controlling his senses. And when we think of controlling our senses, we generally think of eating, sleeping, sex and all that. But even the senses of the mind, not to overthink, not to overreact, not to unnecessarily draw conclusions, not to assume things. This is also samyat indriya. Somebody who is in knowledge actually is able to control his senses. Samyat indriya. And such a person, labhate jnanam, he receives knowledge and because of that, jnanam labdhva param shantim, he actually attains peace by gaining knowledge. Achirena adigachati. Generally, misery appears because of doubt and confusion. Right, sometimes you fall sick. So misery continues as long as the disease is not diagnosed. Right? Somewhere it is paining in the stomach. You don't know what is there inside. So there is a lot of anxiety. But once you know what is there inside, if something is there or not there, in both cases you are relieved of anxiety. If something is there, you know, okay, now medicine needs to be taken. If something is not there, you are happy. But as long as you don't know what is there, it creates anxiety. So therefore Krishna is saying, Jnanam labdhva param shantim achirena adigachyati. Very soon he attains knowledge, and because of that knowledge he attains peace. He becomes peaceful. This is one of the things Krishna speaks in the 5th chapter, last verse. Again he will speak this whole thing in greater detail. What does that knowledge actually constitute? So the three things, right? The peace formula, technically speaking. So Prabhupada is saying, different places Prabhupada gives definitions of what faithful person actually means. And he's saying, one is called a faithful man who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness, he can attain the highest perfection of life. And this faith is attained, by Prabhupada says, by discharge of devotional service. And then he becomes very specific, and by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this faith comes. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravartipad writes in one of his commentaries where he says, the loud chanting of the holy names of the Lord inspires faith in the heart of conditioned soul. It's very sublime how it happens, but when someone hears the loud chanting of the holy names, and if you see, this is how ISKCON has flourished, developed. Prabhupada just loudly chanted the holy names and spoke Harikatha to people, and then the transformation happened. So when you are free of doubt, then the progress in bhakti becomes very exciting and very smooth. It's like example of if you are driving to some place, and if you don't know the destination, if you don't know where, you just know the place where you are going, but you don't know how exactly to approach that place. You don't know the signages, you don't know the exact route that you have to follow, and the GPS is not working. So generally in India, what you do is you ask people on the road, you know, roundabouts, ye jagah kahan milega, ye jagah kahan milega. And in India, you have to take an average of at least 3 responses. Right? Koi bolega idhar, koi bolega nahi, aise jao, wahan se right more, aise ghum ke aao. Koi bolega idhar jao, and Google will be showing something else only. Because Google is not able to catch India's by lanes. Only main roads it's able to catch, but by lanes it's not able to catch. So sometimes when you don't know the route, the experience of driving is what? You are slow, uncertain, confused, and in anxiety. And depending upon what's going to happen on the destination, your anxiety levels can be high. If you are going to a wedding party, the anxiety levels will not be much. But if you are going for a job interview, and this is your first job interview in the last 9 months, high anxiety. Right? So when the thing that you want to do after reaching the destination is very crucial and critical, clarity plays a very crucial role. Clarity plays a very, very crucial role. Like you can start from your home and then start your GPS if you are driving a car. But if somebody is flying a plane, before he takes off, he is in touch with ATC. Right? It's not that after reaching, haan bhai, kidhar lena hai? No. Because when the speed and altitude becomes high, direction becomes extremely crucial. Therefore, people who are doing very responsible activity for society, they need to have very clear sense of direction. Any inability in the direction can create havoc. And we see that. That's how Bhagavatam begins, with Vyasadeva being confused. He's in doubt. What exactly is going to satisfy the conditioned souls? I'm not getting satisfied. And the doubt was so colossal that Narad Muni personally approached to correct the course. Because if he gets deviated, everybody behind him will also, for all time to come, will meet a catastrophe. So, if we know where we are going, we go fast, we are comfortable, we are peaceful, we are pleasurable, and we can do many other things while driving also, isn't it? You can converse, you can talk, you can hear, you can chant. Because you know where you are going. Therefore the experience becomes very, very sweet and very, you know, a pleasurable experience. So therefore clarity is important. But Krishna, in the very next verse, he says, destination of someone who is doubtful, and he classifies these three people, agya, ashradhanascha, సంశయాత్మా వినశ్యతి నాయం లోకో అస్తి నపురు న సుఖం సంశయాత్మనః. And Chakravarti Pad, he differentiates between these three. He says, Agya is an ignorant person who just doesn't know scriptures. He's an ignorant fool, he just doesn't know anything. Ashraddhana means, he has knowledge of Shastra, but he has seen so many disagreements amongst people who profess Shastra, that he has no trust in any of them. Koi kuch bolta hai, koi kuch bolta hai, koi ye karta hai. So majority of people in the Bharatvarsha who know Shastra falls in this category. They know Ramayana, they know Mahabharata, they know Bhagavat, but ye Maharaj ne ye bol diya, ye Swami ne ye bol diya, ye Guruji ye bol rahe hain, sab confused, to chodo sabko. No trust in anybody. And the third is Samshayatmana. He is, although he has faith ki these stories are correct, these instructions are right, but he is swayed by the doubt. I don't know whether this process will be effective in my case. ये सब ठीक है, हरिनाम करना चाहिए, सब करना चाहिए, पर अपने लिए काम करेगा नहीं करेगा मालूम. He's doubtful. And Chakravarti Pad says that because they don't have deep faith, they are doubtful. Even though they follow Shastra, they do it without full faith, hope and optimism. The sign of such a practitioner is he is morose. While practicing the process, sanshay uske hriday mein. Just like a patient who is doubtful of whether the medicine will work or not, he is taking the medicine religiously because he understands the process of getting cured, but he doesn't have faith in the medicine. So he takes it without enthusiasm, without optimism, without any hope, Chakravarti Pad is saying. And he's saying such doubters achieve happiness neither in this world nor the next. And he's saying even fools attain some happiness. But doubters get nothing. If somebody is samshayatmana, he gets just nothing because he is doubting the whole process. So sometimes it happens actually. We begin the process of Krishna consciousness, and when we begin the process of Krishna consciousness, our faith is very high. You see, you look at youngsters or people who come new to Krishna consciousness and they are like so excited about prasad. Even a single grain of rice falls from their plate, they pick it up. This is Mahaprasad. And whatever comes from the Mahaprasad plate is Krishna's grace, mercy. Sometimes these youngsters, you know, new people sometimes come and they just hanker for that flower that comes from the altar, from the plate. Phool mila Bhagwan ka. And they smell it. And they make others also smell. And sometimes we are like, ah, theek hai, kya hai? I also offered yesterday. Right? So, sometimes when we begin the process of Krishna consciousness, our faith is very high, but over a period of time, we tend to lose grip. Why does that happen? It's very interesting. Why does that happen? And sometimes we even become cynical, you know. Looking at someone's innocent faith, we even become cynical. Haan, uchal le. Naya hai na? Dekhta hun, 7 saal baad dekhta hun tujhe. Tera kya hoga? Uchal le. Main bhi aise uchalta tha, right? We become cynical. We are actually becoming cynical with the reciprocation Krishna is doing with that jiva. It's an offense actually. To doubt this person's naive enthusiasm is actually an offense because you are doubting Krishna's reciprocation with the jiva. Right? We're doubting that particular whole process. So, I was just thinking about it and you know, it's just like climbing a mountain. You know, when you begin climbing a mountain, when you're in the foothills, you can see the peak very clearly. And you're enthusiastic. You're going to reach this peak very soon. And then you start. Right? Then you start climbing. And before you even put the first foot on the hill, you have to walk like 1 kilometer from the road till the time where the mountain is beginning. And you're wondering what's happening. I'm supposed to go vertical. Why horizontal? And then you hit the foothills, and the first thing that happens when you hit the foothills of the mountain is you lose sight of the peak. And then you start climbing the mountain, and whatever you had expected is not happening. Because when you gaze the mountain from a distance, it's different. But once you start climbing, mountain actually reveals, and it's not cheating. That's the nature of perception. That's the nature of... You cannot understand the difficulty of climbing a mountain by looking at a mountain. You will understand it only when you start climbing a mountain. And please understand, mountain will not change no matter how much you crib. ऐसा मेरे साथ क्यों कर रहे हैं सब, हरि नाम में मन क्यों नहीं लग रहा है, भगवान पाप क्यों नहीं काट रहे सब. नो मैटर हाउ मच यू क्रिब, माउंटेन विल नॉट चेंज, यू विल हैव टू चेंज, वी ऑल हैव टू चेंज, वी हैव टू बी फ्लेक्सिबल. दैट्स व्हाई द वन थिंग दैट कृष्णा कीप्स ऑन रिपीटिंग इन गीता इज बी इक्विपोइज्ड, बी इक्विपोइज्ड, बी इक्विपोइज्ड. दैट मीन्स एज सून एज यू कम अप टू अ स्मॉल हिल, डोंट गेट टू एक्साइटेड बिकॉज द पीक इज स्टिल अवे. Right, you see that mountain behind, you know, Govardhan Eco Village. And I remember when we were in BT, we climbed that mountain, and it appears it's a one mountain, but if actually you climb that mountain, there are two or three hills. You go up, then you go down, then you go up, then you go down, then you go up finally. So sometimes while you're moving towards the mountain, you are moving towards the mountain, but you start going down, and you're doubting, "Chal kya raha hai? I'm going down. I'm supposed to go up." So therefore, sometimes when the sight of the peak is lost, the enthusiasm may start wavering, especially if you're walking alone. Especially if you're walking alone. So therefore, whenever they do mountain climbing, especially snow-capped mountains, what they do is they also tie each other with ropes. Because the snow is so thick, they don't know whether there is a, you know, like a gorge below or it's a flat surface. Sometimes people actually fall into the snow 25 feet down. So because they are connected with the ropes, with other mountaineers, they are pulled out. So similarly in the path of bhakti, sometimes when we are closely connected with devotee, those ropes are the relationships. So sometimes if you slip, somebody else will be high, will pull you out. Hey bhai, hari bol, come back. You have to keep moving. You have to keep moving up, looking at the side of the mountain. So this is important in Krishna consciousness, that we maintain. The only way we can actually reach the peak, and sometimes when the mountain is very steep, walking up, while you are walking up, at least there is an option of giving up the journey. But once you have walked up a considerable distance, walking down is even more risky. Walking down is even more risky because it is such a steep slope. You can actually control yourself, but when you start getting pulled by gravity, therefore sometimes when we spend time in Krishna consciousness, go up and then we want to go back and revert, it's a very scary situation because you are pulled by gravity. Everything that you try to transcend starts pulling you down. So therefore when we are climbing mountain, first of all we need to have very sincere clarity of why did I start? First of all, did I start climbing the mountain because others were climbing up? Did I start climbing the mountain because, you know, there was some prize associated with climbing the mountain? Or it was just nice status symbol? Or was it just a nice thing to do because I was bored being on the plane, so let me just climb a mountain? No, you won't. You can't just start climbing Mount Everest because it is hot in Bombay. By the time you reach some elevation, you will give up. We will give up because the challenge is oxygen nahi milega udhar. The basic life sustaining force is not available as you start climbing that place. So first of all, we need to have a very strong sense of why we started. And that is sambandha gyan basically. So strong sambandha leads to enthusiastic abhideya. We are enthusiastic about the process of devotional service because the sambandha is very strong. And sambandha means sambandha, we understand who is the Lord, who am I, who are the devotees in relationship to the Lord, and what is my relationship with everybody else. When that sambandha becomes very strong, abhideya is enthusiastic, and then prayojan becomes blissful. Even before we attain the highest prayojan of, you know, all of us dream of dancing in Rasleela, nobody thinks below, anywhere close to, but no matter whatever prayojan actually Krishna awards us, ultimately, even before that, Krishna is so kind that he is reciprocating at every single step of the, you know, what do you say, the attempts of a sadhaka. It's like a father encouraging a child learning to walk. Now this boy may be destined to become a marathon champion in future and may get a gold medal. His father may embrace him at that time. But even when he begins to learn to walk, at every single step, father is around. Not only to protect him, but to encourage him also. Beta, bahut achha kiya. So sometimes the best reciprocation a jiva gets is from inside, not from outside. Because the one who is inside is far more interested than us, than anybody outside. right? Therefore, more than achievements is the internal satisfaction that we practitioners of sadhakas have to experience. So when strong sambandha is not just with the purpose of the mission, but also with others who are walking with us. Very critical. And especially if the mission is very, very profound, critical, lofty and risky, comradery becomes more important. Comradery becomes more important. You can go and watch a movie alone. Don't go and watch a movie alone, but I'm just saying. People can go and watch a movie. Ah, main akela ja raha hu, koi nahi mere saath, I'll just go. But if you're going for a surgical strike, koi aa raha hai? Koi nahi aa raha hai, main akela jata hu. No, you can't do that. Like when US Marines are trained, the first couple of months they spend, couple of weeks they spend in the, they call it bootstrap camping. Bootstrapping. Basically, they are grilled really very intense kind of schedules. And the one thing they train them up for is to trust each other for their lives. After the Marine training is over, each, you know, soldier or each commander is able, is ready and willing, happily, to give their life for the other one when they're on the battlefield. And they say this trust is what makes our missions successful. If we don't have this level of trust with the people whom we are working, this is what happens when we don't trust the environment in which we are living. We can't fight the battle outside. We keep fighting the battle inside only, and the energy gets sucked. But when people are able to trust each other and the environment is very trustworthy, there is no doubt permeating this, you know, environment in which you are living, then you have the capacity to enthusiastically fight the battle outside and do something innovative. That's why even in the corporate world, the companies which make an impact in the outside world have very good trusting environments of work culture. As per their standard, whatever it is. So as far as going back to Godhead is concerned, this is not a war against some country. It is declaring a war against the material energy, as Prabhupada said. What kind of camaraderie is required in this? Unimaginable. And the kind of camaraderie that is required in this is so profound and exalted that that offending another comrade on this path is considered the most vicious thing you can do on this journey. Shastras never talk about offending material energy. There's nothing like that. If you neglect material energy, that's not considered an offense. But if you displease another comrade, if you hurt another comrade, that is considered so lethal. Naham vishanke suraraj vajran. Maharaj Rahugana is praying that I'm not afraid of all the weapons that other will throw at me. I'm afraid at offending a comrade. Offending a Brahman, offending a devotee. So, there it cannot be no space for doubts or mistrust, because calamity would be lethal and repercussions are far stretched. Imagine if the six para commandos who are on the task, they develop mistrust amongst themselves. Who suffers? The whole country. The whole country. So the people who are responsible for this elite message of bhakti, if their Vaishnava relationship in the path of practitioners of bhakti is not a convenience for our practice, it's a responsibility. It's a responsibility, because our relationships is going to determine a big way how this bhakti movement will spread. So therefore, when this trust is present, when there is no doubt amongst us, then there is greater chance of actually making an impact outside. So Krishna is talking about, so therefore when Chakravarti Pad is saying samshayatma, he is not happy in this life nor in the next, right? Because he has basically betrayed his own sense of responsibility. You know, that is the greatest kind of pain we experience, when we betray ourselves, when we know what is right and we don't know, when we don't do what is right. And then we keep justifying that, oh, I acted like this because of this, 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 this. As soon as we use justification as an armor, that means there is some problem inside. But if somebody is totally transparent and totally authentic, then there is no question of justification. There is just acceptance. Even if mistakes happen, they accept, yeah, it was my mistake, although I was totally true in my intentions. But when we betray ourselves, our own sense of what needs to be done, what's my responsibility, when we start avoiding our own sense of responsibility and what needs to be done, then we give justification. then we give justifications and that robs us of the opportunity of being Krishna conscious. Then he's saying viparyasaha, misapprehension is another symptom of doubt. Right? And Prabhupada says the study to determine whether one's identity is spiritual or material begins in doubt. So when the living entity begins doubting the promises that the material energy is making to him through the agency of the mind, he begins his spiritual process. He begins his spiritual path. And like in the purport, this line is mentioned, Shuddhava is requesting Krishna to clearly demonstrate the difference between the material and the body and the spirit soul. So this kind of, this viparyasa, this understanding of his actual position apart from this body can happen either through personal experience or through observation. Bhagavatam gives this example of this principle of bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha. When he starts seeing the faultiness in one's pursuit of sense gratification, he gives it up. Some people can give it up simply by observation also, like the Avadhut Brahman in the 7th canto. But if we actually just analyze the body and the soul, body is asat, achit, nirananda. But the spirit soul is sat, chit and ananda. I was talking to somebody and they said, how do we know we are a spirit soul? Okay, you have very intellectually presented near to the experience and past life memories and this logic, that logic. But can I experience that I'm a soul? And I said, just look at, Bhagavatam 10th canto when Krishna is explaining, Shukadeva Goswami is explaining the description of the rainy and the autumn season in Vrindavan. And he gives this one analogy of, in the rainy season when there are dark clouds and there is moon behind it, all the moon is not visible, but the outer boundaries of the cloud get illuminated by the moonshine. So similarly, our aspirations in this world is nothing but a perverted reflection of soul's eternal nature. And I said, all of us want what in our life? We want stability. Right? That is sat feature. Sat feature means the eternal aspect, the unchangeable aspect of the spirit soul. How many of us would like to have our addresses changed every evening? One day in Mira Road, one day in Badlapur, one day in Belapur, one day in Malabar Hills, one day in Valkeshwar, one day somewhere. Even as brahmacharis, we don't want our lockers to move every day, right? Imagine today, this is your locker, that is your locker. We need some fixity, stability. Kabhi kabhi to anxiety hota, chappal hi kho jayega. Stability, usme phir hum mark bana ke rakhte hain. This is all what? This is a need for stability. Need for surety, need for conformity. This is my place, this is my place to sleep, this is my bedding, naam likha hai uspe. This is my shoe pe bhi mark hai. Stability, it's all our need. That is sat aspect of the soul that is being experienced. Chit is desire for knowledge. Desire for freedom. We start feeling so restricted when our freedom is checked. Why so many people are asking so many questions? Even in the outside world, people perform better when they're free. That's how many global corporations have a very open culture of working. Google and everything, they don't have fixed timings of work. They don't have fixed, style of work. You just do whatever you want to do. Freedom. All of us are seeking freedom. Azadi chahiye sabko. Right? And chit, people need knowledge. Right? Something happens in your body, you can't just neglect it. Oh, thoda idhar, below the navel, something is paining. Okay, no problem, we'll see next year. Are you? Immediately want to diagnose what is there inside. And this is the reason why rumors are so irritating. Personally, individually speaking, when the rumors are about you, they're very irritating. Why? Because that's not the nature of the soul. Nature of the soul is clarity, knowledge. Saaf baat karo. And that's there in whether you're a devotee or not a devotee. These are symptoms which are present everywhere. Everyone wants stability. Everyone wants clarity. Everyone wants pleasure, ananda. Everyone wants looking for these kind of experiences. But the body is, it's temporary. It's ignorant. We don't even know how our body functions. Even sometimes doctors don't know how the body functions. Right? It's dull matter. No, it's not against the doctors. Doctors are doing their good job, but it's just that material nature is so profound in its way of functioning, that how the body is functioning. And nirananda, we were doing an exercise where I said, please tell me how many ways your body can enjoy. And after 5, 7, 8 responses, everybody stopped. And then tell me how many ways bodies can actually give you pain. And the list of diseases was unending. What does that indicate? Material nature has created this body for pain, not for pleasure. Deva Prahlad Maharaj is saying, what is this body? Ashesh Rujam Viroha. Ashesh Rujam means unlimited, inconceivable problems, perplexities, anxieties and diseases. It is like we are trying to take that Kalipili taxi and trying to run a Formula One car race. क्या होगा कभी चक्का निकलेगा कभी क्लच प्लेट खराब होगा कभी ये खराब वो खराब आधा टाइम तो पार्किंग में लगा कर रखेंगे हम गाड़ी को सो व्हेन यू ट्राई टू एंजॉय लाइफ अनरिस्ट्रिक्टेडली व्हाट हैपेंस बॉडी जस्ट डिजीज पार्क्ड इधर इंटरमिटेंटली और कंक्लूसिवली व्हाट एवर हैपेंस राइट सो ही अंडरस्टैंड्स दिस एंड देन निश्चय इज एप्रीहेंशन करेक्ट एप्रीहेंशन व्हेन फॉल्स आइडेंटिफिकेशन इज डिटेक्टेड देन रियल आइडेंटिफिकेशन कैन बी अंडरस्टूड Prabhupada is making this point. And then other is sleep and memory. Sleep is also very crucial for intelligence to function. If you don't sleep, you know, your brains don't work properly. So what exactly is the doubt of Uddhavji which he is asking here is, in the previous verse, Uddhavji has actually put forward his exact doubt, which says that, Prakriti purushascha ubhau yadi api atma vilakshano Anyonya apashrayat Krishna drishyate na bidhatayo. What is he saying? Prakriti and Purusha. Here Purusha is the living entity. He is saying the nature and living entity, they are constitutionally distinct. Atma vilakshana. Unke jo lakshan hai, they are totally different. But drishyate na bidhatayo. Somehow it appears that there is no difference between them. And this one word, Anyonya. This one word, Anyonya, gets several times repeated in the Bhagavatam. Right? Mutually connected. Anyonya Apashrayat means they have taken shelter of each other. They are found residing within each other. And I remember speaking about this in some previous Bhagavatam class and I just shared this example of sometimes when mothers need dough, राइट जब वो आटा बनाती हैं तो उसमें कभी कभी नमक डालती हैं राइट नमक की रोटी बनाना है पराठा बनाना है तो नमक डालते हैं बट वंस द नमक हैज गॉन इनटू द आटा यू कांट पुल आउट द नमक बैक एंड यू कांट इवन डिस्टिंग्विश दिस इज नमक एंड दिस इज आटा तो उद्धव जी इज सेइंग मटीरियल नेचर एंड द लिविंग एंटिटी आर इंटरट्वाइंड इन सच अ मैनर दैट यू कांट डिस्टिंग्विश वन फ्रॉम द अदर हाउ विल द सेपरेशन हैपन यू आर टॉकिंग ऑफ लिबरेशन How is liberation going to happen when the intertwining is so intense? So that is the doubt he's basically asking that is it possible to dislodge the soul from material nature? And Mata Devahuti had asked a similar question in a different way where she said that both of them are attracted to each other. How do you distance them? Separation is possible when at least one party is disinterested. Here both parties are interested. So they are closely intertwined, right? So that is the doubt he is saying. And why is it considered a great doubt? Theek hai bhai, it could be a normal doubt. Why is he saying mahantam samshayam? Why this doubt is such a great doubt, right? So here, this is a great doubt because just in this one conversation, Uddhava is asking this question second time. Just 9 chapters back he had asked this question. In the 13th chapter, he had asked this question to Krishna that he put it across in a different manner where he is saying that that why is it that people sometimes, even intelligent beings, understanding very well that material enjoyment will bring unhappiness in future, engages in it. And then Krishna there speaks about how when misidentification happens, he very graphically explains how the mind gets permeated and pervaded with material desires. Very interesting. He's saying that, my dear Uddhav, someone who is bereft of intelligence, pramattasya, what does he do? First of all, he misidentifies himself with this material body. What does it mean that we identify with something? We basically pose our aspirations in that realm. So if someone identifies themselves to be a scholar, so they see their aspirations being fulfilled through that identity. Somebody poses or, you know, thinks themselves to be a great cook. They see their aspiration of becoming famous, making money through that thing. So the living entity, when he starts thinking that I can enjoy through the material medium of the body, he starts identifying with the body. And he's saying, first of all, the jiva misidentifies with the body and the mind. What then happens is, anyatha buddhi, false knowledge appears. Now, knowledge has to be satya. But false knowledge is another very real term that is being used. Anyatha buddhi arises in his heart and it pervades his consciousness, yatha hridi. And then, the second person who comes behind this falsity is utsarapati rajo ghoram. Krishna is using the word ghoram. Ghoram means very dark. Or what? Raja. Mode of passion. Utsarapati means, it's like you are sitting peacefully and suddenly a huge army comes running and takes you over and just pulverizes you. That's called utsarapati. Just cover over. No chance of even retaliation. No chance of even stopping. They just cover you over. Rajo ghoram. Very powerful. Rajoguna comes off. It's not a thin veneer. It's a solid layer that actually falls on the jiva because he has chosen to be in anyatha buddhi. And because of this, although his mind, which is naturally situated in mode of goodness, he gets contaminated by passion. Rajo yuktasya manasa. And when mode of passion arises, then there are so many... Krishna uses a very nice word here. Very nice word to actually portray what exactly happens with the jiva's mindset at that point of time. When the mind gets influenced and contaminated by rajo ghoram, what happens to him is tata kama guna dhyana. He starts meditating on the moods. Instead of hari dhyana, instead of nama dhyana, instead of seva dhyana, he gets into guna dhyana. His meditation goes into the three modes of material nature. Right? And because of this guna dhyana, see, material existence is not maintained because the jiva tries to enjoy sense gratification. It is because of his desire to enjoy. Right? Because of his contemplation of these kind of desires is his material nature. Material, we say, existence is maintained. And Krishna goes into details and then he basically says that, my dear Uddhav, just follow this advice given by my devotees headed by Sanak. All the four Kumaras, they gave a nice advice of focusing your consciousness upon me and therefore you can actually transcend the force of material nature. And then Uddhava is immediately, hey, where did you instruct him? How did that instruction happen? And then Krishna goes on explaining of the how once upon a time four Kumaras asked a similar question to Brahmaji. Anyonya Santyago. They're asking, Guneshu Abhishate Cheto Gunas Chetasi Chaprabho Katham Anyonya Santyago Mukshrati Tirshuto. So he says, how can living entity get liberated when this Ananya Santyago, this renunciation of sense objects and the mind is not possible, it's not easy. Looks like it was not that, what do you say, one cigarette brand had this title, made for each other. It is not, the original is not that, origin is here. Where four Kumas are saying, looks like mind and sense objects are made for each other. Itna seamlessly ghuste hain ek dusre mein. Just like you wear socks which are actually of your size. Or you wear a glove which is of your size. Fit. He says, Guneshu Avishata Cheto. The gunas are entering the modes, entering the mind. Mind is excited to enter the... How do you control this? How do you dislodge them? Mumukshur Atitirishato. Somebody who is desiring liberation from these desires, and when these two people are attracted to each other, their desires, unlimited desires. How does the jiva get... No... rescued from this. So this word anyonya is very graphically explained here, and it seems like a very insidious arrangement. That don't think that, oh, there is some material desires and then there is a mind and then I can look at the mind somewhere else, I look at the banana tree and the desires will disappear. No. In the one of the traditions of spirituality, what they do is whenever the mind is pervaded with desire, they ask the practitioner to stop breathing. So as soon as you stop breathing, the mind let go of that desire. Because mind doesn't love anyone and anybody more than itself. किसी को किसी से प्रेम नहीं है, सबको सबसे अपने आप से प्रेम है सबसे अधिक. If you can become so selfless that more than yourself you can love someone, that's a different thing. But generally speaking, mind loves itself the best. And then people, situations, things, objects which facilitate that identity becomes dear to him. But if it comes to his, you know, it's like a question of his existence, then he just lets go of everybody. He said these desires are entering so much, they fit together so seamlessly like two liquids mixing. Right? You take two colored liquids and you mix them. Can you separate them afterwards? It just takes another color. You just can't separate them. And, you know, like one of the authors in our movement is explaining this example of just like, he's giving example of some nice preparation is being made and you get a fragrance of that preparation. And you become very happy about the prospect of getting that. You know, sometimes in our ashram there is some paratha in the dinner menu. So as soon as they start cooking paratha, the fragrance starts coming from the kitchen to the ashram, and that there is imagination of pleasure. Now, where is exactly the experience pleasure residing? In the fragrance or in the memory of the experience past? Right? If there is no memory of the experience past, the fragrance has no value. The fragrance has value because there is a mind there to respond to it. Right? And mind has no value if there are no impressions in it. It's like you can't dance in an empty auditorium. You can, but you won't. Because there's nobody to even watch what you're doing. So sense objects have relevance, just like when demonetization happened. Now the same note is useless. There are no takers of that note. Similarly, the sense objects have relevance only when there is a mind to observe it and appreciate it. If there is no mind to appreciate and observe it, it's just dead matter. It's not a certain composition. And similarly, mind has no existence if it doesn't have something to meditate on. And material mind has no significance unless it has material desires and sense objects to meditate on. So, Kumaras are saying, looks like they're just made for each other. They are both foundation of existence for each other. Then how do you shake this up? Right? So, and it is called a great doubt because even Brahmaji was not able to answer this. Brahmaji is thinking, oh my God, big doubt here. And Bhagavatam is saying, why Brahmaji was not able to answer? Because he was a little bit contaminated by his activity of mode of passion. And this happens sometimes. When we get carried away by what we do in Krishna consciousness, we forget why we started. Because the mode of passion has this capacity to obfuscate vision. Jaise kahi kahi aap gaadi aapne barabar chala rahe hain, but achanak kohra aa gaya. You are a good driver, but your speed will get reduced. Because in front your vision is not clear. So Rajogun has that capacity to, you know, infiltrate with your vision. It slows you down. And then he starts meditating upon Sri Hari. Then the Lord appears as Hamsa. And then as Hamsa avatar, he answers the questions of the four Kumaras and Brahmaji. Very beautiful conversation. Very deeply philosophical, but very meaningful conversation. And essentially the Lord says is, why he comes as Hamsa? Because Hamsa is the characteristic of separating water from milk. So he wanted to come across to these people in the most relevant way to just separate illusion from reality. And he said, my dear sons, you are actually discussing a useless problem of trying to remove the mind from the sense objects. Both are material. Chuck both of them off. You're none of those things. You're none of those things. You are a spirit soul. You are connected to me, not to this. Give it up. Just leave it. Don't try to resolve it. Don't try to solve it. Don't try to see some value in it. Right? Sometimes when the knot gets too entangled, you don't try to open it. You just cut it. And get moving. Get going. So Krishna is essentially saying that once you start seeing me everywhere, it's an elaborate conversation, but when you start seeing me everywhere, then you can actually detach the material mind from material sense objects and get relieved. Aate mein se namak nikalne ki koshish mat karo, us aate ko hi phek do. You don't need a namkeen pudi. There is something else awaiting you. That's what Krishna is essentially telling them. That now when we talk about giving up the mind, mind cannot be given up in the sense of, you know, its functions, but the mind has to be redirected. Sridhar Swami explains, it has to be redirected towards, instead of guna dhyan, it has to go into nama dhyan, rupa dhyan, seva dhyan, hari dhyan. It has to actually go towards Krishna, which is its natural proclivity to think about. And this is what mind can do unlimitedly, unrestrictedly in its purest form. To just think about Krishna, serve Krishna, meditate on Krishna. So how to break this relationship between the jiva and prakriti is what Lord Kapila actually says in his response to Mother Devahuti's question, is that animitta nimittena swadharmena amalatpana, right? Tivraya mai bhaktaya cha shruta samvrataya chiram. He basically says two things. He says, first of all, perform your duties responsibly without attachment to the results. Don't identify with the results of what you're doing, even devotionally. Don't identify with the results of your service, results of your activity, results of your responsibility. Our identity has to be with the second thing that he's saying. Tivraya mai bhaktaya cha shruta samvrataya chiram. Second thing is he's saying is one should engage himself in sincere hearing and chanting over a long period of time. And in this way, one can actually dislodge the mind from the sense objects. Dislodge soul from prakriti. Of course, easier said than done. It's not that easy. It's not that the other party is inert to your actions. You know, somebody was just saying that, you know, I was just talking to a couple who was about to, you know, bear a baby. And they were very enthusiastic, very happy. And you know, monks tend to sober down things. If you're sad, they pull you up. If you're too flying, they pull you down. And I was just telling them, I said, you know, two people are eagerly waiting for the child to appear. And they were like, wow. And the grandmother was there, and the husband was there, and the wife was there. And they were thinking, kiska do ka naam lene wale hain Prabhuji. I said, one is mother, because she's bearing the child. Right, and she's waiting. Kab aayega bahar? Khushi se, jo bhi hai, but she's waiting. And you realize how mothers are eager, because once it goes beyond 9 months, then it becomes arey aa kyun nahi rahe? Doctor and this and that. And imagine, you know, Sukadev Goswami sitting for 16 years. What kind of stability that mother had? That's why she gave birth to such a stable son also, right? And the second person who is waiting for the child to be born is Maya. Before nurse picks him up, Maya picks him up. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying like that. And it is not like some sort of very sad thing, oh ho, aisa ho gaya, abhi kya ho sakta hai, abhi to Maya mein chala hai gaya, bachcha chhod do usko. No. That's where the war begins. Our entry into this world is the struggle, as the child comes out of the womb of his mother. Struggle. As soon as you stop struggling, you won't move. You won't live your rights. You won't live your full potential. You have to struggle physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, whatever, to actually reclaim our rights. It's a fight. It's a war. So that's why this word is being used. Tivraya. Not lazy. One of the verses actually Krishna says before that one should not be lazy or morose in his fight against trying to control the mind from the sense of. As soon as you become lazy or morose, just like a soldier, he can't be morose. Oh, ho, sab mar gaye, main bachaun, khada ho gaya. Mujhe maar do boli. Maar dega us samne wala. He will not show some mercy to you. So similarly, the efforts of a jiva cannot be put down. And Krishna in the Gita, I'll just take a couple of minutes more just to wind up this whole thing. Four things I've already discussed. The fifth one is coming. Krishna in the Gita is actually, when Krishna explains Dhyana Yoga to Arjuna, the sixth chapter, and Arjuna is like, he's flipping out by this time. He said, Chanchalami mana Krishna pramati balvadridam. First of all, first time in his conversations is Arjuna actually showing confidence in his ability. Although he's so confused, so stressed, so depressed, he's showing confidence in his, I can control the raging wind. I can't control this mind, which is chanchala. Bhakta rahata hai udhar. Pramathi is mad. So just imagine a young child running here and there, you can catch him and make him sit down. Madman running. And not only mad, not only running here and there, Balavad, he's very powerful also. If you go and catch him, he'll punch you. And Dridham, he's totally focused to run also. Kuch nahi kar sakte aap. He says it's difficult to catch this. And for the first time till this conversation, Krishna actually agrees with Arjun. Asamshayam me Mahabahu. Oh Mahabahu, I am not doubting your ability to control the raging wind, but what you are saying is doubtlessly, undoubtedly, this is true. Manadur nigraham chalam. But abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. By practice and detachment, it is possible to control the mind. Krishna is saying. What does this practice means? See, practice is done, first of all, where there is no desire and no taste. You need to practice things. The first stage we come across in practice of sadhana bhakti, there is no desire and no taste. That's how we began. Bhakti karne ki desire bhi nahi thi, taste bhi nahi tha. As we keep doing it with the process of bhakti, the second stage comes is desire begins to develop. And how? Because of intellectual conviction and purification. Krishna says in the Gita, Mam ichchaptum dhananjaya. By performing abhyas yogena tato, by performing abhyas of this bhakti yoga, you develop Mam ichcha aptum dhananjaya. Mujhe paane ki ichcha tere man mein aayegi. Actually, the true result of practicing sadhana bhakti is this intense desire to attain Krishna, to be with Krishna. So he's saying, Mam ichchaptum dhananjaya. Desire comes, but still taste is not there. Because mind is not experiencing higher taste. So still it's a vulnerable position. Desire is there, but taste is not there. Mind can still flip out. And the third level is where there is desire, intense desire and taste. Param drishtvani vartate. And that becomes, so that's what practice is supposed to bring us to, from the level of no desire, no taste, to desire and no taste, and finally desire and taste. So that we become stable on the path of devotional service. And Krishna is saying, second thing is detachment, because detachment will help us cruise through the above three stages. Right? Because the mind, by nature, is going to throw so many varieties of desires, opinion, options, plans. We have to neglect it. We have to be detached. Like one of the things that I personally observed when you chant Hare Krishna, when you chant Japa, the way mind distracts you is through conversations. Mind will start conversing with you. And the conversation will begin spiritually only. Oh, how was the festival yesterday? And then you say, it was very nice. As soon as you answer one question posed by the mind, it's like that Vikram Betal, you know. Ek baar baat karna chalu kya, phir wo rukega nahi. So then you will ask second question, oh, festival was nice, but what about the Kala Jamun? Kala Jamun ek hi diya, do dena chahiye tha, nahi? And then if you say, yeah, dena chahiye tha, do. Oh, last Radha Ashtami we actually had Rasmalai also. And then by that he will go somewhere. And after six rounds you recall, are time kya ho gaya? Are? Oh, 6:30. Where was I? So this is our mind actually. So we have to be detached. No matter how attractive the proposal looks like, the response should only be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just like, you know, small children when they cry, sometimes they cry for attention, sometimes they cry because of need. And mothers know when they are crying for need and when they are crying for attention. And when they cry for attention, if the mother doesn't respond, chup ho jata hai wo. Khelne lagega phir kone mein jaake. Right? And if you actually look at them, oh ho, he cries louder. That's how mind actually behaves. So we have to be detached. And another aspect of detachment is we have to create a self-driven system for inspiration. We also have to be detached from the externals, how the externals are behaving, how others are behaving, how others are deciding, how others are making choices. We have to focus on our own. We can't hold others responsible while they're moving on the road. Like my father would tell me when I would drive some vehicle on the road. He said, beta, pehla, the first principle of driving, and I was born and brought up in UP, so UP, driving sense and everything. So he said, the first sutra is, consider every other fellow on the road as foolish and irresponsible. Apni jaan aur apne maal ke zimmedari tumhare upar hai. Dusre se apeksha mat karo, kuch rule follow karne wala hai. And literally it saves us. Similarly, in devotional life, our faith and our inspiration cannot be based on what it influences us, but it should not change our decision. It should not make us, you know, change the purpose why we started. It has to be a self-driven system. Therefore, we have to be also detached. The mind has to be detached with what's happening outside of itself. to not let it get influenced and give up the journey of giving Krishna consciousness. Again, the same example of climbing up a mountain. Somebody may feel thirsty and sit down to drink water. That's fine. If you're not feeling thirsty, you keep moving. You may keep moving. And the final thing was, I will not describe it now, but how Krishna helps in dealing with doubts. And I could think of four ways how Krishna generally helps devotees based on their intensity, their exalted nature, of how he helps clears the doubts. Is personally, scripturally, through revelations, and through devotees. So personally, Krishna does like the classic example of Arjuna Acharya. He's thinking this yogakshema vahamyam is not right, and he scratches that. And then Krishna personally comes. Beautiful story. We don't have time to go through it. But beautiful story of how Krishna comes and personally clarifies the doubt of Arjuna Acharya. Or for that matter, Arjuna, by listening to Gita, Krishna clarifies doubt. Scripturally, we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita how this devotee is lamenting because how could Sita be touched by Ravan? And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings Kurma Puran back to show him the proof that actually Sita was never touched by Ravan. It was Maya Sita. He becomes happy. Scripturally removes doubts. Right? Third thing is, through devotees, we see Vidura Maitreya Samvad or Vyasdev and Narad Muni Samvad, how they are dispelling doubts through devotees. That happens a lot in our lives. How Krishna dispels doubt through devotees. Even sometimes through just not even avid practitioners of bhakti, Krishna may come and say something to you which you needed to hear to actually get rid of that doubt. You are thinking of something and somebody comes and says something, a word of encouragement, word of appreciation, word of validation, and you're like, bam, this is what I needed to hear to move on. Krishna is reciprocating. Don't doubt. And the fourth way Krishna sometimes removes doubt is through revelations. And that happens in very exalted cases also, like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, while he is writing this Mantrarth Deepika and is explaining the Kam Gayatri Mantra, which explains the 24 and a half moons in Krishna's form, he is not able to understand, he is not getting a reference, where do I find it? How do I explain this is 24 and a half moons on Krishna's body? And he is not able to understand why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote like that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he goes to sleep and Radharani comes in his dream. And she explains how Krishna's body has 24 and a half moons. And he's happy. He's happy that the doubt is being revealed, but he's more happy that Srimati Radharani accepted him as one of her, you know, associates and things like that. So Krishna is there to help us deal with the doubts, and it is important because trying to practice a spiritual life with doubts in our life is like trying to drive a car with handbrakes on. We just make sound, we don't move anywhere and create pollution also where we are standing. So therefore, it's important that by our own practice of devotional service, by sincerity and the openness of our heart and the humility with which we inquire from Vaishnavas, we actually clarify our doubts and move ahead on this path of devotional service. And as we move on this path of devotional service, people may doubt our intentions, but that should not discourage us if we are thoroughly sincere and honest about our purpose for why we have started this journey and how exactly we want to reciprocate with Krishna's blessings upon us. Thank you very much. I'm extremely sorry. Went overboard almost 12 minutes. But deeply grateful to all of you for paying such careful attention on this sublime topic. I hope and pray I can imbibe some of these principles which I've just shared with you and make my devotional offering something worthwhile. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Rashmat Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Itai Gaur Premanande.